Welcome back. This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola. My guest today is Mike Campbell, the author of Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last, which was published on June 21st, 2012. His website is earharttruth.com, and we're talking about Fred Gerner. And actually, the government media complex didn't have to provide a cover story until Fred disclosed the truth. And no one was asking questions until he published his findings.
Exactly, right? So. Yes, it was a complete surprise, you know, to the media elites and the establishment people that that ran the show here, and they had to stand by and watch Gerner get all this attention during the early 1960s. When his book was published in 1966, that's when the idea of Saipan and her Amelia Earhart's death on Saipan actually reached its crescendo or its apex in the public mind. Soon after that, however, Time magazine stepped in with a scathing review of the book, completely panning the book and ridiculing the book. And then from that moment on, the idea of Saipan was verboten in the establishment, more or less verboten. And there were leaks here and there, and there were efforts here and there to get the truth out, such as Vincent V. Loomis's 1985 book, Amelia Earhart, The Final Story, which was a very good book that, about Loomis's investigations in the Marshalls, Deanna, where he interviewed Marshall Islands natives who saw the plane and knew about the plane. That book was in 1985, and that was reviewed by Jeffrey Hart of the National Review, William Buckley's magazine in 1985, which was a pretty well respected journal in those days. And Jeffrey Hart said the Amelia Earhart mystery is solved. He said that in 1985, reviewing Vincent V. Loomis's book, but the establishment did not get the memo on that one.
Right.
And then in 1987, Thomas Devine wrote his book, Eyewitness to Amelia Earhart, which we've discussed a bit already. Devine asked for GIs who had been on Saipan with knowledge of Earhart there to come forward and help him. He was really a lone ranger at that time. He had come home from the war in 1945 with this knowledge, and it just plagued him. He couldn't find anything in the newspapers about it, and he just wore on him all those years. And so he just started. He took it upon himself to. This was his life project after he got back. I mean, this was all that drove him. And he died in 2003. In 2001, when it looked like he was going to die, he gave me his unpublished manuscript, The Concealed Grave of Amelia Earhart, which contains the accounts of all the GIs that contacted him after publication of his book in 1987. Most of those GIs contacted him as a result of seeing him on Unsolved Mysteries in 1990 with Robert Stack, where they actually did a reenactment of Devine's Electra experience on Saipan when he saw the Electra and he saw it destroyed. But that was a rare exception in the establishment media to give Saipan any sort of play at all. And that was 1990. We're talking 22 years ago, if my math is correct.
Well, it's very interesting that a lot of people came back from war after seeing all the blood and horror and asking questions about why and recognizing that their government lied to them about this particular incident. All righty, we do have to take a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Answer it. How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com and now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with 4 of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Friends, I hate to dig up painful memories, but consider this. You were raised on canned spinach, canned beans, canned beer, canned asparagus, and canned Vienna friggin' sausages. So why in tarnation would you buy canned seed? Man up and buy a Texas Ready Liberty Seed Bank. They come in a genuine resealable grab-and-go U.S. Army ammo box that protects your heirloom seeds from light, moisture, and vermin. Leave those other seed kits for the ignorant and spring for a Texas Ready Bank. At Texas Ready, we've thought of the big stuff and the little stuff so you can think of the other stuff. We've got you covered from dirt to dinner. Order a real bank today at TexasReady.net. That's TexasReady.net. And if you have one of those old cans, send it in and we'll give you 10% off a genuine Liberty Seed Bank. No questions asked. Remember, nothing good comes from a can.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. My guest today is Mike Campbell, the author of Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last. His website is earharttruth.com. And, okay, please continue with, it's amazing that that Gerner did what he did, and it's wonderful that you received a lot of his research.
Right. Well, you know, they have the files down there that were put together by Bill Primack and Mrs. Gerner at the time. Merla Zellerbach's her name now. She's still very well, alive and well in San Francisco. She's a former columnist from the San Francisco Chronicle and a novelist herself, who's published at least 12 novels, I believe. She's been really a good support, a great support of my supporter and encouraged me in my work. You know, she was with Fred during all this time. So I really feel, you know, kind of connected to him and of course, to Divine, who I knew so well, you know, and it's so bad, so unfortunate that those two fell out along the way. That's a different story where Divine went to Saipan with Gerner to try to find the gravesite that was identified to Divine in 1945, the Earhart gravesite, one of three possible grave sites. That's a whole different story, and I don't want to get off on that right now because I want to stay with the GI witnesses from Saipan.
Okay.
You know, first of all, we have the ones that came forward to Fred Gerner. There were several that did that as well. But during that time, I think there were The reason that Moore didn't is because they knew that Gurner was a star. He was a celebrity. He was not a military type. And so all these other people that later contacted Devine must have heard about Gurner, because that was well-publicized. His work was well-publicized in those days. And so basically, if you start from the top, and this is completely unknown to the public, General Alexander A. Vandegrift, who was at one time Commandant of the Marine Corps from 1943 to 1947, he told Gurner in a 1971 letter, I'm quoting now, Miss Earhart met her death on Saipan, unquote. In 1965, this is a much more well-known statement from a former flag officer, Fleet Admiral Chester W. Nimitz, told Gurner in a phone conversation. This is in his book. Nimitz told Gurner, now that you're going to Washington, Fred, I want to tell you Earhart and her navigator did go down in the Marshalls and were picked up by the Japanese. Gurner later claimed Nimitz told him. The admiral's revelation appeared to be a monumental breakthrough in the case, and it's known even to many casual observers of the Earhart matter. Of course, nowadays it's not, because there's only a few people that pay much attention at all to this anymore. But if you read my book, it's in there. Later on, after Nimitz's revelation to Gurner, Marine General Graves Erskine, who was retired as a four-star general in the Marines, who was on Saipan during the invasion of Saipan. I think he was a much lower-ranking individual. He might have been a general on Saipan. He was not in charge of the invasion, but he was in the middle of everything that was going on Saipan. Graves Erskine also told Gurner's associates in a green room. I found this in Gurner's files. He told Gurner's associates in a green room while he was waiting to go on a program with Gurner that Miss Earhart, it's been established that Miss Earhart died on Saipan. I'm going to leave it to you to dig up the rest. Okay? So we have statements from three United States military flag officers attesting to Earhart's death on Saipan. Right there.
Right. And there's one page in your book. Let's see. Page 332. Something that I think is very, very interesting, and I hope I'm not getting you off track.
It's okay.
And it's something that was written in Roland Reineck's book.
Uh-huh.
But he said, and Amelia Earhart survived Roland Reineck unsuccessful bid to revitalize the Irene Bolam as Amelia Earhart myth. Reineck claimed to Carey told Joe Gervais that Bernard Baruch, special advisor to FDR, and Major General Oscar Westover, Army Air Corps chief, met twice with Earhart during mid-April 1937 between her first and second world flight attempts. The meetings were held under tight security at March Army Air Corps Field in Riverside, California, and neither DeCary nor George Putnam, which was Amelia Earhart's husband, were invited. The Roosevelt administration needed something, and Baruch and Westover were sent to California as ambassadors to see if Amelia Earhart could help achieve the national objectives the administration had established, Reineck wrote. Now, just because Reineck's book might not be, there's probable truth in every book, but he did, you know, bring this up.
Yes.
And
that's
thinking,
why I included it.
Yes, indeed.
You know, that is very compelling testimony for the idea that she was told to do this and to go and get lost, so that that's right. That was probably Reineck's major contribution in that book. That was, plausible, incredible. His idea about Earhart coming back to the United States as Irene Bolam had already been long discredited and just was not worthwhile to bring back that idea at all. And he really hurt himself with that. And the book, therefore, was basically a complete failure. But he does, as you say, there is truth in everything. And then the idea about March Airfield and Westover meeting with Earhart, I mean, that happened. What they talked about, we don't know. It's, you know, it's just complete speculation what they talked about. But that's why it's in the book, because we don't know all the we don't have all the answers about how she wound up in the Marshall Islands.
And if she did wind up there because Bernard Baruch asked her to do that, or because the Roosevelt administration asked her to do this for some sort of objective, and then if they in fact left her there to her own devices and didn't even send in anybody to rescue her, would indicate that, okay, what was their objective? To probably keep provoking Japan into a war. And, of course, that's what happened.
Well, that's one idea. I mean, to provoke Japan but into a war. But the point is that in 1937, the United States, neither the United States nor Japan were ready to go to war. So
exactly.
So, you know, it wasn't, I think it was more, if she was directed to go there, it was more from an intelligence, you know, gathering point of view. Fred Gerner looked at that very closely. You know, not that he was a genius, but he looked at it very closely, and he was, and he talked to a lot of people, a lot of top-ranking people in Washington. Of course, a lot of them lied to him, but he came away with the idea that she was not directly ordered to go to the Marshall Islands, but she was directly, you know, she was advised or asked to keep her eyes open and to do what's known as white intelligence. In other words, keep your eyes open along the way of what you're trying to accomplish, and report back to us on what you see. Here's the thing, Deanna. This is the thing that makes the idea that she was directed to the Marshall Islands difficult to accept completely, is that what she was trying to do, or you could turn this around to say that it's a better reason to promote the spy theory, because what they were ostensibly trying to do was reach Howland Island, which was a tiny speck in the Pacific Ocean, and at that time, 2,556 statute miles away from Ley, New Guinea, was an incredible feat in itself. Just to get there, it had never been done before. You know, to ask her to also do something else at the same time she was trying to go to Howland Island, it just doesn't wash. You know, aviation-wise, navigation-wise, the whole thing was too difficult to do to begin with for her to be distracted by anything else.
It is very strange. But you have to ask yourself, what is the motivation for the government keeping all of this a secret? Was it just because she was a popular heroine? And why try to keep it a secret now? You know, what is the motivation behind that?
Now, here's another consideration. You know, this is all we're going off into the region of speculation now, but the San Francisco system was instituted in 1960, which was an agreement between the Japan and the United States to be best friends and best allies, and this hasn't changed. I mean, the relationship between Japan and the United States is sacrosanct, and for our government to actually come forward and admit what happened would be an incredible embarrassment to the Japanese, you know. So we have that going as well. You know, that's a double whammy on keeping this, a secret as much as they can possibly keep it a secret, is not only to protect FDR's legacy, but to avoid embarrassing the Japanese.
And, of course, you also bring up their units where they did all this biological testing on people, which they also kept a secret right after the war in the tribunals.
Right. I brought the Japan's war atrocities into the book so that people can better understand. Now, this is another thing, historically, another history-related thing that people just are not aware of anymore. They don't teach this in the schools anymore about how barbaric Japan was. in 19 in the during the, that period, not only
right.
During the war but pre-war.
Mike, we do have to take a real quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and super male and femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA survival course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are: incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
My guest today is Mike Campbell, the author of Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last. His website is earharttruth.com. Let's go ahead and continue.
Thanks, Deanna. Getting back to the GI witnesses, we talked about the three flag officers that contacted Gurner in one way or another and told him about Saipan's death on Saipan. None of those flag officers had any reason to do that other than that they knew it was true and they felt sorry for Gurner, I think, and all the stone walls that he had run into at the time of his investigations, and it was their way of encouraging him. But it should be noted, they were long retired, these flag officers, Vandegrift, Nimitz, and Graves Erskine, and they all died within a year or two of telling Gurner about Earhart on Saipan. They died of natural causes. I think they felt that at that point in their lives, there was no point anymore in keeping this from him and hiding the truth. Now, among Gurner's other GI witnesses, people that contacted him, this is where we start to hear about the photos of Earhart on Saipan. Anybody that's looked into the Earhart case and read about it will see that there are many claims of seeing photos of her. Ralph Canna was the first to contact Gurner. He was in the 106th Infantry Regiment on Saipan in the Army. In 1961, he told Gurner, as a platoon sergeant, his duty was to ensure that we would take as many prisoners as possible for interrogation purposes. One prisoner was captured in an area designated as Tank Valley, had in his possession a photo of Amelia Earhart standing next to or near Japanese aircraft on an airfield, Canner wrote. The photo was forwarded up the chain of command, and when questioned, the Japanese captive stated that this woman was taken prisoner along with a male companion, and he subsequently felt that both of them had been executed. Another guy, Robert Kinley of Norfolk, he was in the 2nd Marine Division during the invasion. He said he saw a photo of Earhart with a Japanese officer that he believed was taken on Saipan. Well, where else could it have been taken? So Kinley said he was clearing a house of booby traps near a graveyard when the picture was found tacked to a wall. A Japanese mortar shell exploded near Kinley moments later, tearing away part of his chest. He lost a photo at that point and couldn't remember if it was destroyed in the explosion or taken by one of the medics who attended him. Okay, here's another guy, Marine Colonel Donald R. Kennedy. After the 1966 release of Gurner's book, Kennedy was a commandant of the 12th Marine Corps District. Hardly someone, that you would think would be prone to tell tales. He told Gurner he came into possession of some photographs in Japan in 1945 that showed Earhart in Japanese custody. Kennedy said he turned them over to General Douglas MacArthur's intelligence headquarters. Gurner told Jim Golden in 1969. Marine Corps G2 is now trying to trace what happened to the photographs after Kennedy turned them over. Of course, nothing was ever heard again after Kennedy told Gurner about that.
Right. This is very fascinating stuff.
It just goes on and on. I mean, there's no way we're going to be able to get to all of it, you know. But, I mean, there's just so many different threads to this story, so many threads that lead to Saipan. All the credible threads lead to Saipan, and nothing leads to the ocean north of Howland, and nothing credible leads to Nicomoraro. It all leads to Saipan, yet Saipan is never mentioned when we hear about Amelia Earhart. It's
right, and that's just the point, that the people who are not mentioning Saipan are obviously have another agenda and certainly are trying to discredit the truth, including this fellow that you mentioned, Tom Crouch, in your book that wrote this so-called scholarly article.
Uh-huh.
And he's associated with what, the Smithsonian Institution?
He's the senior curator of the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum.
Right.
He is the Smithsonian's expert on Earhart.
So-called, yes.
Exactly. So, you know, going down the list, then we have in January 1964, a guy named Warren Hasse, who was the general manager of a Texas radio station, wrote to Gurner about his friend W.B. Jackson, a Marine who served in the Marshals in 1944 and found some of Earhart's personal effects. Hasse wrote that Jackson is one of the most honest men he had ever known and included Jackson's address and phone number. Jackson told Gurner in 1944 while he was on Namur Island, Roy Namur is two islands, Roy and Namur. Three unnamed Marines found a suitcase in a barracks room that was fitted up for a woman with a dresser in it. The suitcase contained a woman's clothing, newspaper articles about Earhart, and a locked diary engraved, quote, 10-year diary of Amelia Earhart, according to Jackson, who ordered the Marines to turn over the articles to intelligence, and, of course, it was never heard about again. We have many witnesses about her presence in the Marshals. We're not probably going to get to much of it, but one of the people that I did want to mention is Jim Golden, who was a very good friend of Fred Gurner's, and who I contacted in 2007, I believe. He was living in Las Vegas.
Mike, hold that thought. We do need to take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including Turtle Tough shelters.
We have added 2 24-foot Turtle Toughs to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle Tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in 2 sizes. Get your Turtle Tough shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle, T-U-F-F, Shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. My guest today is Mike Campbell, the author of Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last, published June 21st, 2012. His website is Earhart Truth, all one word, earharttruth.com. And I have an email question, although we've kind of covered some of this, but basically why he wants to know, why has this been covered up by both governments? Why was she detained? What happened to her and when? Was she on a special mission there? Which we've kind of gone over this, but
yes.
But yeah, your
emailer asks for everything. He wants to
yes.
know. Well, that's why we're here.
Yes. Well, and you know, there are other things. I mean, Japan and Germany had an association. And in order to get the U.S. into the European war, they had to get Japan to attack them. And so there were all kinds of things going on in addition to what you've covered in your book. And it's just very, you know, very interesting.
There's just there's just so much involved with this, you know. I just thought of another researcher who told me recently about looking in the archives the NARA archives, National Archives in College Park, Maryland, government records, about trying to find some sort of information in the listening stations that were in the Pacific, the United States listening stations that were there during 1937, and finding huge gaps, missing, just no records whatsoever for the time period of her flight, leading up to it and afterward.
Right, and when she was supposed to be running out of fuel, and she should have been asking for help in all this, there were huge gaps of empty space.
Exactly, so, so.
Yes, which you've detailed in the book.
Right, and that's another mystery. Why did those gaps? Why was there nothing from her? Someone who I respect a great deal and who's helped greatly with this book is Bill Primack. One of the greatest Earhart researchers that I've met. And he believes that she had transmission failure, that basically that she blew a fuse at that time. It was very common in those days to do that. That's his theory. That could explain it. There's another, the other one is that this was all part of the plan. She was never on the air long enough for the Itasca that was anchored off Howland Island to get any sort of a read on her, any sort of direction finding on her, because she was not on the air long enough for them to do that. Why is that?
Right, and the Itasca was the U.S. ship that was sending her messages so that she could hone in on where the island was.
Right, and she didn't act as if she wanted to find that island whatsoever. You know, one of the radio men told another Earhart researcher, Paul Rafford, who's in his low 90s right now, in his young 90s, he's still alive and well. He told Paul Rafford that woman never wanted to land on Howland Island. One of the radio men from the Itasca told him that. And we have that, too. There's so many anecdotal pieces that would lead one to believe that this was something funny going on with her. I really do hate to use the word spy, though. I think it's a loaded word, and I don't like it to be applied to her.
Right. Well, maybe she simply was doing something for a government that she thought was noble, and she was asked to do it, as this one gentleman mentioned. She was there, and it's interesting that this happened when she had so many skills, was such a good aviator. Why she would why all these failures would happen with the transmission and everything else, and she just happened to land in the harbor associated with the headquarters of the military for Japan.
Actually, we know that she crashed. She landed at Milly Atoll, Deanna, which was not the Japanese headquarters. She was taken to Kwajalein, which was the Japanese, which was on in the Marshalls. I think Jalawit was the Japanese military headquarters in the Marshalls. She was taken there as well.
Okay.
And from there to Saipan. Now, we know that she was. We think that she was flown to Saipan. We don't know whether it was she was flown in a land-based plane or a seaplane by the Japanese, who had seaplane bases all over the Marshall Islands at that time, and regular service between Saipan and Japan at that time. So these are details that have yet to be ironed out. But
her navigator. Apparently, he was executed.
All the evidence that we have is that Fred Noonan was executed, yes, beheaded.
Right, and yet they kept her alive, and she apparently died of dysentery?
This is what the evidence likely suggests is most likely. However, there are other witnesses that say she was executed. However, they weren't eyewitnesses.
Okay.
We have no claimed eyewitness to her death. We only have secondhand witnesses to her death. More of them put it at sickness than an execution. But
and didn't her husband visit her grave right after the war?
Yes, her husband was on Saipan during right after the island was secured, approximately November 1945. We talk about that as well in the book, about how he was taken around the island. He was looking for information about her possible presence on Saipan. He came up empty, according to what we know. officially, but unofficially, there's evidence that he was told that she died there. This is, you know, this is more murk. This is really more murk. There's other, there's so much conjecture about what her family might have been told about what happened to her, because her mother wrote a letter to Nita Snook, who was her, who was Amelia's first flight instructor. Her mother wrote a letter to her in the late 40s, in which she told Nita Snook that she knew that the Japanese had Amelia and that they and that they killed her. I mean, she absolutely knew it. She didn't say where she found that, where she learned it, but she absolutely stated that she knew it as a fact.
Hmm. Okay.
So getting to Jim Golden, I wanted to mention Jim because he was such a good friend, and he was such an important, well, he was a very good friend of Gurner's, and he was also, he led an amazing life, Deanna. This Jim Golden, he died in 2011 at the age of 85, but he was at one time a Secret Service agent assigned to President Dwight D. Eisenhower, and he also headed Richard M. Nixon's detail. From 1954 to 61, he was in the Secret Service, Golden was. He also later was in charge of Howard Hughes' personal security in Las Vegas.
Hmm.
He led an amazing life. But in...
he was very good looking, too.
Yeah, I guess he was. You would know. He told Gurner in the mid-60s, after he read Gurner's book, that Earhart and Noonan were brought to the islands of Roy Namur, Kwajalein, by air from Jalawit by the Japanese in 1937. I contacted Gurner, Golden, in 2008, called him. I was able to find his number, and he was really open to my questions, and he wanted to learn more, and he really wanted to help out as much as he could. He told me about how he was a 19-year-old enlisted photographer on independent duty in the intelligence section of the 4th Marine Division in 1944. He learned that Marine intelligence personnel were sent into the Marshalls to interview natives about their knowledge of the two American flyers who landed or crash-landed there before the war. On Kwajalein in January 44, this is 6 months before the invasion of Saipan, Golden, who also headed the Criminal Conspiracies Division of the U.S. Justice Department, ironically, from 1973 to 1982. I suppose this is when they were a little less corrupt.
I don't know. I mean, this is pretty... this is getting deeper and deeper.
Golden was told by Marine officers on Roy Namur about at least one Marshallese who confirmed Earhart's and Noonan's presence on the island, but he couldn't remember a name. I want to quote to you what Golden wrote. Golden wrote, do we have enough time before the next break?
Yeah.
Okay, Golden wrote, quote, the Marine Corps were very apparently assigned the effort to search for evidence of AE, that being Amelia Earhart, being the first to retake the Marshall Islands, he wrote to me. The Marine 4th Division Intelligence Section, 24th Marines Intel Unit, interviewed a native who worked for the Japanese on Roy Island airstrip in early February 44 after it had been captured by that unit. The Marines wrote up a detailed report capturing the information that related that in 1937, two white persons, a male and female, were brought by plane to Roy, the man with a white bandage on his head and the woman with short-cut hair wearing men's pants, who were taken in across a causeway to the Namur admin building. 3 days later, out to a small ship in the lagoon, which then departed. Golden said, I read the report myself. This report would routinely be forwarded to 4th Division Intel. Of course, then down a dark hole, never to be seen again.
Right, and that's where all of this has been. And even if you want to get a FOIA, you have to be very specific in what you're asking for. And so all of these records have just kind of disappeared into where?
Into the deepest recesses of our national security apparatus. That's where. And no way, no how, any FOIA that could ever be imagined or written to specific detail would loosen that information, Deanna.
Right.
Not a chance.
And now, weren't the bodies exhumed and brought back with all of the evidence, like her? Didn't she have a briefcase that that somebody found?
Exactly right. Now, we didn't get to that. That was Robert Wallach who found her briefcase in a blown safe in Garapan shortly after the invasion. He was in the second wave, as a matter of fact, of Marines on the beach in Saipan on June 15th. He was lucky he wasn't killed. But he found her briefcase, and then it had all her papers, her maps, all her paperwork and things that was involved with her flight, which she would bring along with her. We've also proven through research that briefcase existed. We have a photo of that briefcase with her on that she took onto the plane. So skeptics try to say that she didn't have a briefcase are wrong. And Wallach lived with this story for his whole life, too. I mean, he turned the briefcase over to a naval officer on the beach, as he said, after he was convinced by his Marine Corps buddies to turn it over, that it might be important. It might be important.
Right. Yeah. And you talked to Wallach in, when, September of 1992?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I interviewed him, and we became very good friends. And he never wavered from his story. He was very media friendly. He was interviewed a few times, once by Connie Chung. He was on Connie Chung's program in the mid-90s. That's one of the last times the word Saipan has ever been uttered on network TV in relationship to Amelia Earhart. Wallach was a very winning type personality. He didn't get into any depth with anything else, and I guess I don't know. They felt that he wasn't harmful at the time to the Saipan idea because he didn't push it. He didn't push the conspiracy or the cover up or anything else. He just said what he had found. But this was just one appearance on Connie Chung, you know.
Right. Now, given all the multimedia or the multinational corporations and all of the patents that the U.S. Government has allowed Japan to have following the war, and all of the Japanese imports that we see, you know, out on our roads, and the technology, the you know, the cosmology stuff that they make, do you find that having to do with wanting to cover up the murder? You know, whether it was murder, whether they killed her, they certainly did kill Fred Noonan. But wouldn't this contribute to the fact that they want to cover all of this up? Because, after all, she was an American heroine.
Yes, it's all part of the picture. It's our relationship with Japan, which is very, very important to corporate America, and it's at this point. When you really think about it logically, that might have been a consideration way back decades ago that we wanted to protect our relationship with Japan. Nowadays, so few people even know about Amelia Earhart or care that to release this information now would hurt our relationship with Japan at all, because nobody is alive anymore that had anything to do with her death.
Right.
So therefore it goes back to FDR. It's protecting the legacy of FDR, the Democrat icon. That's really what it is, you know. That's really all
okay.
We can. You know, and go ahead.
And of course every other president, because he issued an official paper.
Well, according to Ross Game, he did. According to Gerner's friend, Ross Game, who went to Saipan with him on one of his trips and who was a well-known newspaper man and who I interviewed a couple years before he recently died, Ross Game said that they were told that FDR issued a special secret executive order, that this information should not ever be released. Now, I still don't understand how a dead president's executive order holds any authority or water any longer to any subsequent presidents revealing the information.
I think you have to look at the fact that presidents are usually puppets, and that they're all kind of run by the same controller. And that when one president issues an executive order, following presidents also have to abide by that order. And, you know, it's a cover-up, whether, and you talk about him being a Democrat, I think, you know, it's been covered up by both Democrats and Republicans.
Oh, absolutely. It's a bipartisan. This is a bipartisan cover-up. There's no question about that.
To this day, even.
Sure, to this day. Absolutely. To this day, what's most amazing to me is that there's so little interest in the media. It's the opposite of interest. The media is ignoring. Here I've written this book. I pull everything together more than any other book that's ever been written about the Earhart disappearance. I take everything significant that's been done and put it together in the book, plus the new information that I found between 2002 and 2009, much of it in Gerner's files, and put it together all in one neat little package.
You do, and you do it very well. But the media and their backers, we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Are you struggling to reclaim your health? Let me share my story quick. My nightmare of chronic fatigue, PTSD, and autoimmune issues cost me everything. A bankruptcy, loss of home, even my wife walked out on me with no hope in sight. A miracle happened after hitting my lowest point. I discovered ion and RNA drops. It literally saved my life. I want to share my story with you and offer you a trial bottle of RNA drops. Visit www.rnafreemini.com. Again, that's www.rnafreemini.com. It's time to take your power back now. You can also look for our free trial offer ad at republicbroadcasting.org, RNA drops.
An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped to you. Delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. Heartandbody.com.
How would you like to own land? A refuge to escape from big cities, possible food shortages, the collapse of the dollar, or just a vacation trip is now available to you. Lots of fishing and hunting are available just across the Rio Grande River. Own your personal Colorado Wilderness RV lot within 3 stones throw of the Rio Grande River for $1,395. Quarter acre lots, county road access. All lots come with warranty deed. All just for $1,395. Call 785-672-3141. 785-672-3141. Or go online to ColoradoRiverLots.com for more information and to see photos. It is a vacation and a 4-1.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today has been Mike Campbell, the author of Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last. It was published on June 21st, 2012. His website is earharttruth.com. And you mention in your book, you talk about the government media complex. I think you can also add corporate in there and make it government media corporate complex. And if they lied about Amelia Earhart and did not protect this national heroine. They will lie about anything and everything and not protect or represent any entity except multinational corporations and those who control them. I see a similarity between Pat Tillman and Amelia Earhart. Pat Tillman was going to come home and talk about all kinds of things, really reveal what was going on in Afghanistan, about the drug running and all of that. And they eliminated him. And
that's
maybe,
scary stuff.
Yes. So maybe you can say they did the same thing with her. They didn't go and save her, which was the same thing as eliminating her.
It is. It is, certainly. And it's so wrong now that they can't admit what they've done after all these years and, you know, put this to rest and honor her for what she did. She actually died for her country unwittingly. But, I mean, she deserves so much more than to be the object of a fraudulent, ongoing disinformation campaign that has no end in sight, that keeps on with regularity every 2 years.
Mike, you've done that. You are her spokesperson. What you have done with your book, Amelia Earhart, The Truth at Last, is you have freed her. You have told the truth about her. You've given all the details, all the facts, all the research that you've pulled together. You are her voice now. You have done that. And whatever the media chooses to do with your efforts and your book is commentary on them, not you and not her. You are a hero.
Thank you, Dean. I don't feel like much of a hero. I feel like I'm just a poor soul that's being ignored all the time, you know?
Well,
I've been working at this for so long, you know, and I've had so many rejections along the way. It's a minor miracle that this book was ever published at all.
Well, those are badges of honor that you've been rejected by the mainstream media. That means that what you are saying in your book is the absolute truth, and it's well named, The Truth at Last. You're her spokesperson.
That's funny you say that, because it is a good title. Before I changed that title, I even had less luck. It wasn't until I changed it to that title that I finally found Sunbury. The original title was The Earhart Deception.
Well, I think this title is really well suited to the book.
It is a good title. Because it suits it.
It does. And so I know you're frustrated, but other people will pick up on this. They will read your book, and I think you've done a grand job, Mike. You really have.
Thank you so much, Deanna. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it. You're great help.
All righty. Thank you so much, and I hope you'll come back.
Okay, Deanna. Take care.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk to you tomorrow.
Are you again?